Kei te whakaronga koe ki te reo erirangi pōho he parakuihi tēnei. You're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. Now, normally at this time we'd be chatting to Chris Hipkins of the Labour Party, but unfortunately he's not available today. However, we are very lucky to be joined on the airwaves by Kieran McAnulty, who's the Labour spokesperson for Housing, Infrastructure and Public Investment. Morena, Kieran, how are you?
Morena, I'm real good. How you getting on?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to talk a little bit today about the rise in homelessness and inflation and what effect that's having on New Zealanders at the moment. Rising homelessness is an issue, of course, we know well here in Tāmaki Makaurau. We've had a 53% rise in people sleeping rough in the city over a four-month period earlier this year, which prompted the Auckland Council's Community Committee to send a please help letter to the government. What's the state of homelessness looking like in other parts of the country?
Well, if only the government did help when that request was made, but they just ignored it. And unfortunately, homelessness is growing at unprecedented rates, not only in Tāmaki Makaurau, but also around the country. You've got places like the Wellington City Mission saying that it's the worst they have ever seen, and they've been operating for over 100 years. Mm. And the sad thing is, aside from the obvious, with you've got vulnerable people, including children, sleeping rough, the sad thing is this was all entirely preventable. If the government hadn't stopped expanding the number of kāinga-ora homes and cut the funding in real terms to community housing providers and basically stopping people getting into emergency housing, we wouldn't be seeing these numbers.
I mean, last year, right, we had Tamapōtaka sort of celebrating the fact that we had low numbers of people in emergency housing, but this isn't necessarily, that doesn't really translate to the amount of people that are actually sleeping rough, right? Like the cutbacks on eligibility for emergency housing have had a drastic impact on the amount of people that are sleeping rough.
You're absolutely right. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just telling part of the story and only the part they want to tell. It's easy to drop the numbers in emergency housing when you don't let people in, and that's exactly what's happening. They changed the entry criteria, whereas essentially it used to be if someone was in a vulnerable state, they didn't have alternatives, they would be put into emergency accommodation so that they didn't have to sleep on the street or in a garage or in a tent or in a car. And now the criteria is so tough that so many people can't get in, to the extent where there were reports earlier in the year where women and children escaping domestic violence couldn't get into emergency housing because they were deemed to have contributed to their own situation. I mean, how heartless can you get?
So what sort of urgent action are you hoping to see from the government to reduce the impacts of homelessness currently?
Well, they've been denying for 18 months that homelessness is increasing, and then finally over the weekend, Tamapōtaka, under a bit of pressure from Jack Tame, he finally admitted that things were getting worse because of their policies. So I hope now that they've admitted it, they will actually change their policies. I mean, I'm not sure how they can sleep at night when they know that they've made it so tough that there are people sleeping in the middle of winter on the street because they are desperate to try and save some money to make their budget add up. I mean, look, I know that they will deny that, but here's a simple fact. They released a press release before the last budget a couple of months ago celebrating that their changes to the criteria for emergency housing saved the government $1 billion to fill the hole in their budget. Now, it's quite clear to me that they are not motivated by making sure that people aren't sleeping on the street. They're motivated by cutting and saving as much money as possible. And the only solution to that is to change their policy.
I think as well, while we can all agree that emergency housing is really important and vital and a necessary solution to the sort of dire state of right now, it's not necessarily a sustainable solution to reducing homelessness. Last month, we saw the Greens announce their budget plan, which had quite a lot of radical sort of changes in store for their policies on tax reform. Are there talks of Labor's campaign for 2026 and potentially reintroducing the concept of a capital gains tax or some sort of tax reform?
Yeah, we're under conversations about our policy across the board, and you can absolutely be assured that ensuring that jobs and good wages will be a big factor in that making sure that we have a health system that can give the people the treatment that they need will be a factor, and so too will housing across the board. not just emergency and social housing, but affordable rentals and security in their tenancies, but also houses that are affordable for people to buy. So that'll be a massive part of that. And we have confirmed that we will be changing the tax system to be able to assist with delivering that. At the end of the day, these are basic things that people expect from their government, and there are three areas where this government is completely failing. But I just want to address the first part of your comment there, because I couldn't agree more. Emergency housing is not the solution to the housing crisis. We need to build houses and as many houses as we possibly can. But emergency housing is the solution to people sleeping on the street. And it's only ever there as a temporary measure while the government builds social houses so that these people have a place to go. The problem with the current situation is that not only is the government not providing emergency housing, but they're not expanding the kāinga ora stock, and the funding they've given community housing providers is a fraction compared to what they were getting under us. So if only the government continued to build at the rate that the previous Labor government did, we'd be making so much inroads into the housing shortage. But unfortunately, they're not.
Yeah, just back to your earlier point about National kind of almost bragging about the savings that they've made by changing the criteria. I mean, in combination with the cuts to the pay equity, do you think this is a bad look for National?
Oh, 100%, but this is what they stand for, right? I mean, there's a reason they're not ashamed of it. It's because this is exactly what they're in politics to do. They don't believe that it's the government's role to build houses. They're on record saying that. And they don't believe it's the government's job to intervene in wages. But as we know, over many, many years, and overseas examples as well, that if the government doesn't do that, then wages essentially drop in real terms and that not enough houses get built. And so they've pulled back on pay equity. Let's not also forget that they scrapped the fair pay agreements, which would have significantly increased people's wages and improved their conditions. Mm-hmm. The National Party have always stood for a low-wage economy, and they will argue against that, but the proof is in the pudding. Wages are always lower under national governments, and so that's part of the big reason why I could never support the National Party, because at the end of the day, it's working people that end up worse off.
Mm. And how do these policies interact with the current state of inflation? Because we're at a 12-month high of 2.7%, right?
Yeah, well, when you've got a situation where prices are increasing higher than wages, let's not forget that the government only increased the minimum wage by 1.5%. So when you're looking across the board, everything is increasing in price more than that, and many people's wages have not increased enough to keep up with the cost of insurance or rates, and even if you're renting, that has a flow-down effect to the rent that you pay as well, let alone food and all the other basics as well. Now, the National Party promised that if they were in government, that this would be their highest priority and that they would make things affordable for people. Then they turned around and made essentially wage cuts in real terms over a longer period of time, because people won't be getting the increases that they would have otherwise got. And when prices are going up and wages aren't going up, it makes it hard for families and everybody else.
Finance Minister Nicola Willis has said that inflation remains under control and within the Reserve Bank's target range. What's your response to this?
Well, I mean, I think they are grappling at straws here to make it look like that everything's okay when it's really not. The thing is, if food prices are increasing, say, at 5%, that's higher than wages. So whilst it might be across the board within the Reserve Bank's target range, the things that people need in life are becoming increasingly unaffordable. And this is after a period of global inflation post-COVID. And where other countries have got it under control, things are, in New Zealand, are becoming increasingly more unaffordable for people. And I'm thinking of the likes of students who are facing really difficult rents to pay. It doesn't leave much to pay for the other basics you need in your life. And when prices for them are going up, but the income for students isn't going up, there's hardship across the board.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir about about high rents. Finally, there's been a lot of comments, of course, from the current government about inflation under the last Labor government. Under the Labor government in 2022, we saw a 32-year high of 7.2% inflation. What would you argue is different about the situation now?
I'm not going to argue that inflation wasn't high under us, because it was. It was a global inflation that everybody saw after COVID, with the disruptions of supply lines and everything else that came with that. The story here is that New Zealanders don't want to see politicians pointing fingers and saying, ha ha, look, it was higher under them. We know it was higher under us, but we were doing something about it. We were providing support, we were focusing on increasing wages, and that when the plan was, when we got to this point, when inflation was lower, people had more money in their pockets to deal with that. But what we've seen is the government pull back on things like construction and infrastructure projects. We've got 15,000 people have lost their jobs in construction, for example. They've pulled back on wages. So no one that has lost their job is going to say that things are better. And anybody that's working on a lower wage and seeing food prices continue to increase year on year are going to turn around and say, well, what's in it for me? And that's a fair question.
So this remains high on the priority list for Labor going into the election in 2026?
Cost of living absolutely is high on our priority list, but so too are wages and good jobs and a health system that people can rely on, and a real focus on ensuring that affordable housing across the board is available to people. Now, the government will say they're doing things in their area, but the proof is in the pudding. Housing is still unachievable for so many people. We've got homelessness increasing. We've got food that's unaffordable for people and rents that's unaffordable, and no one has faith in the health system. So I can't see where they are succeeding for New Zealanders.
Kieran McInulty from the Labor Party, thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been a pleasure to chat, and we'll catch up with the Labor Party next month.
Good as gold. Thanks for having me on.